Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
Good morning and welcome to Pensacola Expert Panel. It's time to get you winning in life. It's time for Winning with Mainstay Financial. We've got Bob Burgey. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you, Jenna?
Oh, I'm excited. I tend to just, you know, take the rainy days and be like, let's just go for it. You know what? Take that rain. We're going to win anyways.
Yeah,
it's only appropriate that we are having Winning with Mainstay today.
Now, do they ever change the weather forecast for today when it's raining outside? Do they ever change it from 80% to 100%?
I think that they never do that just because, you know, liability.
And they just stop.
I feel like in Florida, you just have to be like, it's 50-50.
That's right.
You know, so if it goes above that, I'm like, okay, it's probably going to rain.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So happy late 4th of July to you.
Likewise. Likewise. And, did you have a happy 4th?
I always.
Great.
I'm always
Did the kids enjoy the fireworks?
Oh, boy. I'm the little kid when it comes to fireworks.
Okay.
Yes, they were great. Did you get to see them either at the beach or here?
We saw them more. I guess we really heard them more than anything because, you know, we were in bed early and, gosh, it went on late. But I think that was more my neighborhood than anything going on downtown.
I think that was in America.
Yeah,
I saw something that it was like buy one, get one, 467,000 for free because it just never stopped. I heard them last night too.
Same here. I'm like, did you? Maybe somebody had to work.
They had leftovers.
They had leftovers. Yeah.
They don't want it to go to waste.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Thanksgiving Day leftovers.
That's
you want to make
right.
sure you eat all of them at once so they don't go bad.
Hey, that's right. So really, I mean, you know, the 4th was on a Sunday. So it's really the 4th of July week.
Really, it was economical.
Yeah.
Just light
anyway,
them all up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. It was fine. And it was good to see everything back in action and moving forward.
Right.
I'm very thankful for that.
Yes, yes. It's nice to see everybody out and about. Nice to see crowds. You know, it's okay. And we're all going to be fine, right?
Exactly. No matter what, everything's going to work out. Hey, 850-437-1620. Our lines are open. If you have a question, something going on with your retirement plan, something that you're just not sure of when it comes to your finances or investments.
Right. Or if you want to weigh in on the following topic, we are going to be talking about the big bad wolf, inflation. The start of the show. Okay.
Yes.
And tied closely to inflation are, you know, the measures to combat inflation by raising interest rates and, you know, some other things, some taxes. And then we're going to talk a little bit about estate planning, Jenna. And I know that's your favorite topic, right?
It is and it isn't.
So
it's one of those things you have to talk about it. So, you know, let's get positive about it. But at the same time, you know, it's not always the most cheery
right.
subject.
So, Jenna, as you know, the COVID pandemic, the global pandemic, at least here stateside, prompted, you know, a massive government stimulus, you know, a lot. And remember, those checks, that was stimulus money. That was not survival money. It was to keep the economy chugging along. Okay. There was, however, a disruption in global supply because folks, you know, received these stimulus checks and folks kept spending their money, borrowing money, spending more money. And of course, in terms of the global supply chains for things like building materials, cars, used cars especially, even workout equipment and things like, you know, not really workout equipment, but bikes, you know, things like that, leisure type stuff. You know, the demand was sky high and the supply went way down, okay? What happens when the demand goes up and the supply either remains the same but goes down because so many people are purchasing? Well, the price goes up, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
naturally.
With anything. So there are fears that perhaps the Fed is being a little too casual about addressing inflation.
I saw that.
Okay, yes. So I did a little digging on this, and it's very interesting because when you think about it, this time last year we were in a very bad place, okay? And a lot of companies, a lot of employers, in order to keep their workforce intact, to keep their marketing budget and everything intact, they kept chugging along and doing the things they normally do. But the one thing they did was there were a lot of bargains last year, you know, booking a cruise 12 months out or a trip or, you know, just lots of things. Now, some things became more expensive, but, you know, with everybody at home, people going out, buying electronics and, you know, TVs, things like that. So, of course, you know, prices did go down during the pandemic. You know, how many times did you get an email blast or some text saying, you know, some sort of takeout sale at a restaurant or, you know, some other thing, just trying to get people to get out and, you know, and spend some money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of companies did this to keep their, of course, their workforce, their human capital in place, not to lose employees and to be ready for when the global pandemic passed. But the interesting thing about it is inflation from this time last year is up approximately 4.2%. If you look at the consumer price index from this time last year, now year over year, say from January to January, from January 2020 to January 2021, it was in the twos, okay? But from this time last year, it's up 4.2%. That's a big jump.
That's
and it has a lot of people concerned. Another interesting statistic is that during the global pandemic last year, because people weren't spending as much, because basically they just weren't getting out, okay? Personal consumption from this time last year is up 11%.
It's up this year?
From this time last year, June 2020 to June 2021, month
wow.
end.
Wow, 11%?
Spending, yeah. Consumer expenditures are up 11%. Now, that's a scary thought.
So, yeah, I was just going to say, is that a good thing or is that...
Well, we're getting out.
Potential.
We're spending
okay.
money. You know, things are opening up, and they have opened up. Yeah, I think we're in a good place, and we're heading in the right direction. But I think a lot of people feel that 1 year ago was a time that was more skewed than right now, okay? But nevertheless, consumer spending is up 11% from this time last year. So it does spook the Fed. And it does, I think, spook, you know, the folks at the, you know, at the banks and, you know, just where things are headed in general. It spooks me, right? Inflation really doesn't help a lot of people. But the way it is combated, Jenna, is typically the Fed will raise interest rates to slow down spending, to slow down the economy a bit, okay? And therefore tame inflation, okay?
Is that to help it so there's no crash, or
it's to combat inflation? It's you're never going to control inflation. Who could have ever expected, you know, this chip crisis? You know, who could have ever expected this incredible demand for housing? I guess a couple of us could, okay, because we're spending more time at home. Everybody's spending more time, you know, looking at homes, upgrading, downsizing even, but certainly
moving from state to state.
Exactly. But certainly real. And that's another thing. And this is something I've talked about with my daughter. She's able to work remotely. Okay. She worked for a company in Denver, and she still works for the company in Denver. Now she can work anywhere she wants. Okay. And that means, you know, possibly coming home, possibly moving somewhere else. But when you're working remotely, it opens a lot of doors. But anyway, housing, you know, I think we all know housing has gone up. But I think something that might be even more interesting is just the transitory nature of housing. How many people I know and how many people have moved in the last, say, 2 years. It's really staggering numbers. And whether you're moving from an apartment to a home you've purchased or from one home to another home you've purchased, it's a lot. And that's something we'll probably see more of. Again, we're talking about inflation, and one of the ways, probably the best way to combat it is to raise interest rates, slow down spending, slow down the economy. Who wants to see that? I'll tell you what, the people that feel that the bigger fear and the bigger the worst of two evils, if you will,
right,
is inflation. The economy can slow down, but inflation cannot run away from us. That would be ruinous for everyone.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I read somewhere, and this is in the last couple of weeks, that the U.S. inflation is at one of its highest rates, or higher rate than it was in 2008. Is that I read an article, and I was like, ooh.
Okay, yes.
But, and then, so 2008 wasn't the best time in our lives.
No,
so
it
obviously
wasn't.
That might cause some concern.
No, it does cause concern, absolutely. And you may have read the same article I did.
Okay.
That number I gave you, the 11% increase in consumer spending year over year from this time last year to right now, that is the highest increase in consumer expenditures since 1984. That's 37 years. That
oh
is a very,
word.
Very long time. Yeah. 37 years. So, yeah, inflation, you know, and we started the show describing inflation as the big bad wolf. Well, it is. And, you know, I certainly do not want to strike fear into our listeners
no,
or
not.
Anyone. But, you know, inflation has gone up, and it is projected to go up. However, it has been historically low. Okay. So, slowing down the economy, and that's something that probably will take place with an interest rate hike, will be better for inflation. We're not talking about shutting down the economy. We're not talking about, you know, anything negative, but possibly a small increase in interest rates if inflation continues on its upward path. Okay?
Right. Well, and you think about where we were as a whole in our country,
right,
not just here in Northwest Florida, not in Florida alone, but as a whole in our country, a lot of things were shut down 1 year ago, especially you're talking California, New York, Illinois, you're talking some big states there, right?
Right?
So a
right.
lot of things were shut down, and people were being very careful with their spending.
Right.
And then as things started to pop open, people, like you mentioned, your daughter working remotely, and we're discussing inflation. We're discussing the rates.
Yes.
This is an incredibly mind-blowing topic
this
to me.
This is macroeconomics, and it's something we don't, you know, something, you know, I don't want, you know, we are referencing reputable sources, okay? So this is not an editorial, but
right.
we are splashing some color on this with some numbers, some facts, some figures, and but let's back up a little bit. How good have we had it in terms of inflation, in terms of interest rates, if you're
oh,
a borrower,
yes,
and also in terms of taxes, in federal income tax rates? They've been very, very good for most of us. And I can't remember a time, any period of time that we've had it so good for so long. in terms of interest rates as a borrower, inflation, and federal income taxes. It's been great.
Yeah, and it was expected that eventually interest rates are going to go back up. I mean, come on now. We can be wishful thinkers, and I can be as positive as possible over here, but it's not going to change the fact that eventually they're going to have to start going back up.
It's so interesting because I sat down with somebody yesterday. They have refinanced their mortgage. This will be the third time, I believe, in the last 7 years, okay? 30-year fixed rate mortgage. But guess what, Jenna? They thought interest rates, mortgage interest rates, 30-year fixed interest rate mortgages had bottomed out 7 years ago. They thought it had bottomed out whenever they refinanced between now and 7 years ago, and now they are going to get a better rate. You know, one word of caution on refinancing, and this is certainly true with my clients that I sat down with yesterday. They are staying in this home forever. This is their dream home. They're not planning on moving in 3 years or downsizing at any point in time. This is a home they built. They will remain there forever. And when they run the numbers, it makes sense for them to refinance their mortgage. So just a word of caution. If you're selling your house or moving on to another house at some point in the next couple of years, or even say 5 years, you may want to take a closer look at the prospect of refinancing and how it benefits you or does not.
Okay, that's some good advice there. You know, a lot of people, you don't hear them say, this is my forever home, like I'm never going to move, because in the back of your mind, right back there.
Right.
Ooh, possible income.
Well, wait till you get to be my age, okay? You have a forever home in mind. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that say, I'm going to die in this home. This is my last home,
okay.
And, you know, because they built it or they did so much to it.
Sure.
Or their
memories
just
there.
Not,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. That's a part of your heart.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, when I was your age, I was just looking at the next house. Yeah.
Just to tell you, you want to know my dream home?
Let's hear your dream home.
Okay. It would be either a fifth wheel or a Sprinter.
Mm.
I don't even have dreams of like living in an actual house. Although, you know, I'm very thankful, very fortunate, I just have to say. But having that freedom and go on the weekends, you get to go to the lake, you get to go to east, west, navigate.
Yes.
That's just how my heart is, though. It can't be tied down to a house.
And you know how you go through these waves of viewing, whatever it is on Netflix or
yes, okay. You're binging that.
Well, that's not even Netflix. This is on, I think the channel is Tiny House Nation. Okay.
Yes.
So we watch that and it is fascinating how much you really, really need, how much this show is not about, building a tiny, it is about building a tiny house, but it's also just really changing the trajectory of one's life in terms of material possessions, because there isn't an episode that goes by where they have to have a heart-to-heart with these people. Okay, what do you really need?
Sure.
What do you need to bring with you? Okay, that's what you need to bring with you? Okay, pick one thing out of each of those categories, and that's what you get to bring with you. It's tough.
It's a tough conversation to have.
But my gosh, these people are have bought in, and so the hosts of the show are doing so much more than getting somebody in a new home.
They also are tapping into this new movement, and it's not just young people. You're talking people of all ages who are starting to, and I'm air quoting, buy into the tiny home living, that tiny home nation.
Right.
And they're thinking, how can I spend less? How can I make less of a carbon footprint on Earth?
Yes.
How can I double my investments? How can I make more of my time and not break the bank doing it? Because it becomes very affordable.
Sure.
And so having those kind of investments, I've heard people talk about opening up like tiny home Airbnbs.
Yes.
Where they can have these tiny homes all over and be able to rent them out and have that investment. And they can, like, yeah, work for a little bit while longer, but they're slowly making those investments where eventually they're not going to have to work except for whatever they have to do to those homes in between stays.
Right.
And it's just genius.
Right.
And I just love how far we've come where people can go and travel. And you're thinking, instead of me continuing to pour into a hotel, which makes millions upon millions of dollars a year, which still we love hotels, those fluffy pillows,
sure,
you know, that other
sure.
people have slept on, right? You love
right.
them. But, but thinking like, oh, I get to have this experience mm-hmm. and live like this, you kind of get to see, is this how I want to live for the rest of my life? And I just love that trend. And I love that it's teaching people that less is more, and
yes.
it frees up your life,
right.
and that you can put your investment into something else, and you don't have to spend a whole lot of money. And I think that's what people are worried about.
So isn't that interesting? Someone your age, and you know, I think there are plenty of people like you. Your dream home is something very small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something very small, manageable, something that's not going to, you know, drain you and.
Right.
And it really gives you choices going forward, you know, when everything isn't invested in a, you know, 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, right?
Right.
But, yeah, that's very interesting. The episode last night, sometimes it's people that just want to live in a tiny house. Sometimes it's people that want to actually move about the country or further in a tiny house. But the episode last night, actually, these guys had constructed something to hold the dishes, the glasses, and everything in these open cabinets. They were spring-loaded, and they just collapsed around each dish. It was amazing. Anyway, okay, so you brought up your dream house.
Tiny
okay.
homes, yes.
All right.
We were just talking about how people come to you, and they're like, this is my forever home. I'm going to die here. I'm going to invest everything I've got into mm-hmm. it, and this is it. And
yeah.
I can appreciate that and admire that, because that really shows their solidarity.
Right.
But I also can see the other side. I don't think that buying a 1,400 square foot home is going to die off anytime soon.
I don't either.
No.
Right.
Especially you see, like, it's hard. Realtors are begging you, sell your house, please. Please let me sell your house.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Like, you move out. There's a perfectly good extended stay down the street. They're looking for houses to sell.
Two things you will never hear, okay? I can't find a real estate agent to sell my home, and I can't find an investment advisor to manage my money. You just don't hear those things, right?
And you need both.
You need both,
you
and
need
you need
both.
Good ones, and you need to surround yourself with good ancillary advisors in addition to those folks. You know, the real estate folks need a good mortgage originator.
Mm-hmm.
They also, you know, they may need a good property manager if it's an investment property. The investment advisor, the folks looking for an investment advisor also need a good tax advisor, a legal advisor, possibly, you know, additional advisors. But, you know, it's something we harp on. Again, if you have a thought, we're discussing inflation, and we're going to make probably one or two more comments concerning the inflation conversation that we were having before our break. But if you have a question or want to weigh in on the topic, please give us a call, 850-437-1620. That's 850-437-1620. Okay, so let's, during this first half of the show, wrap up the inflation topic. But in let's see, Jenna, it was 1980, 1981, Fed President Paul Volcker hiked interest rates very aggressively, okay, to bring inflation under control. So the negative part of that was the aggressive interest rate hikes, because shortly thereafter, after 81, really after, you know, beginning in 81 and 82, and there are a lot of things going on, the economy did go into a recession. So we need to, you know, tread very cautiously on the interest rate hikes. We want to control interest rates, we want to control inflation with interest rates without other parts of our economy suffering. So.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway.
Well, and that's good. I mean, just a reminder, though, what goes up must also come down
That's right.
a little bit. Not
I like
in a terrible
that thought.
way.
I like that thought. That's right.
Gravity.
And what goes down, what must go up. And yes. That's where we are now.
And that's the balance in life,
in
right?
In terms of interest rates, inflation, and taxes. All right, we're taking a break, right?
Yes, we're going to take a quick break. 850-437-1620. We're going to talk about estate planning in just a moment, but let's see what's happening in the news. Mark.
Good morning. The Pensacola Children's Museum open again as of today. Those story coming up after Fox News.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Tropical storm Elsa is hitting the Florida Keys with strong wind and heavy rain. There are tropical storm and storm surge warnings up for much of Florida's west coast. Further east in Surfside near Miami, where four more bodies have been found at the site of a collapsed condo building.
We do continue to expect occasional gusts and strong showers today. And we're closely monitoring the weather, and we now have our weather service embedded within our search and rescue teams.
Mayor Daniela Levine Cava. It's now 32 deaths confirmed at that site, 113 people unaccounted for. President Biden gives an update on the administration's coronavirus pandemic response this afternoon after meeting with those advisors.
Federal health officials say they are still trying to figure out what's going on with the Delta variant of this virus. We're even seeing an uptick in the number of cases in some parts of the country, with the variant believed to be a major factor in some of those regions.
Fox's Mark Meredith at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, 75, cloudy, rain. Good morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. The UWF Historic Trust says the Pensacola Children's Museum is reopened without limitations starting today after being closed for more than a year because of the pandemic. For now, the museum's open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays only from 10 till 4. Officials say they hope to return to regular operations by August with a new exhibit and updated programming. A sight more typically seen south of us is becoming more frequent in the Panhandle. Last year, 73 reported manatee sightings in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, 18 so far this year. Those 91 sightings making up nearly half of all the manatee sightings in the two counties since 2007. Scientists say they're trying to determine if it's a sign of climate change driving manatees north or just a case of more vigilant reporting. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
More rain is on the way for today. Showers and thunderstorms likely, with temperatures warming near 85 degrees in the afternoon. Tonight we will continue with that rain chance, 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, temperatures dropping near 74 degrees overnight. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
And there's a flash flood warning in effect until 2 o'clock for southeastern Baldwin and south central Escambia counties. 75 in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, and Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. It's quite the summer for teens looking to make some money. Amusement parks have been forced to increase pay and hand out other perks, such as free food and family passes, as they staff up to meet demand. Universal Studios Orlando increased its minimum pay across a range of positions to $15 an hour from $13. Cedar Point, an amusement park in Sandusky, Ohio, doubled starting pay to $20 an hour. Splish Splash, a water park on Long Island, bumped pay to $18 an hour. If you're hoping to mingle with multimillionaires this summer, you can skip the Hamptons. WealthX says where you're most likely to bump into an ultra-high net worth person, someone who's worth more than $30 million, is San Jose. Cities with the highest density of ultra-wealthy people tend to be moderately sized towns where technology or financial systems dominate. San Jose is home to Cisco Systems, Hewlett-Packard, Adobe, and PayPal. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 396, the NASDAQ's down 6. That's Your Money Now.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger, put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We're having fun over here.
I don't sing, but once the song comes back, I can do one of two things. I can say, all right,
yes.
Right on. Okay, that's about all I got.
You could do like one of those, is it T-Pain or Lil Jon? It's like, he does that, oh yeah. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, I could do that.
Something, I obviously don't know a lot about rappers, but I can try. Hey, it's 10:36 here on Winning with Mainstay Financial. Bob Burgi is here with me. I'm Jenna Barr. This is your Pensacola Expert Panel. Please call or text in with questions for our expert, Bob Burgi. He's our financial go-to guy, and we were just sitting here listening to Your Money Now right here,
yes,
on News Radio with Fox News, and
wow.
Well, my
you
mind
know,
is blown.
So I just asked Jenna, is that the first time they've run that part?
It's the first time I heard
Fox
it.
Fox News, okay.
Yeah.
And so they just shared with, you know, if you were listening, you heard them say, amusement parks are raising their pay across the board. And they said, this is one of my old haunts, Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. Okay, I moved here from Cleveland, Ohio. You know, Cedar Point was the Universal Studios of theme park, okay,
oh, yeah,
of the Midwest.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is
the Six
awesome.
Flags of Ohio.
Yes,
you
it is.
Drove out of your way to go to Cedar Point.
Yes. So once a year, blow it out, go to Cedar Point.
And it has one of the oldest and biggest, is it wooden roller coasters?
It is, I think, the
one
tallest,
of the highest, yes.
Tallest, fastest wooden roller coaster on the planet.
It's just you're rolling the dice,
yeah,
when you hop
that
on it.
That makes you feel good. It's, what is it, the only remaining wood roller coaster?
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Exactly. Just
it's made of matchsticks.
That's,
no.
But it, and it feels like it if you've never ridden it. And if I had never been in a car accident, I would still be riding roller coasters,
yeah,
today.
Good times at Cedar Point. Okay, that is not the point.
But
okay?
The point
Memory
is, tell
lane
them.
Is not the point. Okay, so what was shared with us, and hopefully you did hear it, amusement parks are raising their pay for their employees across the board. They said Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, is increasing, doubling their pay to their employees to an average of over $20 an hour. They mentioned another one somewhere in New York, $18 an hour, something like that, Jenna. And then they also mentioned Disney World and some of the Disney properties. Well, so the reason we're talking about that now, didn't we just talk about that, how the extremes that these companies are having to go to retain their employees,
oh,
and
yeah,
you know, for when the pandemic is over and this country is officially open and they're able to bring all these people. And okay, hold on, I know you're about to say something, but the pent-up demand is massive. Okay, so guess what else is going up? The cost of entering that park.
That's
I
right.
guarantee you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say it's doubled, but I will say that whatever increase we are experiencing at the theme parks, the amusement parks, I don't think people are batting an eye. What do you think, Jenna?
No. People are itching to go have some fun.
Yes.
And just to remind you, tomorrow is the 7th, which means it's the last day for the tax holiday week that we're
right.
having here. I mean, God bless Florida,
yes,
where we get to have, and that includes going and buying tickets to concerts and amusement parks and things like that.
Right.
So
right.
we literally have a governor who's encouraging us to spend money because he's going to give us a tax break. Go have fun.
That's right.
And employees, you know, good for them. $20 an hour. I think, like, man, you think about those 18-year-old kids that are hitting that button that are sitting there, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good for them.
That's
and
right.
I'm appreciative,
yes,
of them being taken care of.
Yeah, me too. So get off Amazon, right? And spend some money locally, or at least in the great state of Florida.
Please. Right? I'm not an Amazoner. I'll just say that. So yeah. I appreciate people supporting local, and not just here in the area. We have plenty of places to go to that are locally owned and operated that you can pour your money into. Hey, it is 10:40 here on News Radio, and you're listening to Winning with Mainstay Financial with Bob Burgi. We have a phone call coming in, and Larry, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Welcome to Winning with Mainstay. Bob's here. What's your question?
Hey, good morning. And I just did tune in. I just got in the car. Let me be sure. Is Bob your financial advisor?
Yes, sir.
Got the right.
Yes, sir.
Topic.
Yes, sir.
I've talked to several folks, but anytime I have an opportunity, I like to get as much input as I can. But older, retired, and some stuff in the stock market, but I've got a good bit in CDs, and it was in CDs when you could get about 3%, which wasn't all that long ago. You know, it used to go up a little bit. But boy, now they come due, and I wish I'd have known. I'd have gone with 5-year CDs instead. I went with, like, you know, 18 months, 2-year stuff, and it's coming due.
Exactly.
It's 0.7. I mean, and it's 0.7 for 2 years, even probably 3 years. I've looked at this table, and I just forget, but it's nothing.
Right.
But it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. So there's my dilemma. You know, what in the world does a older couple or person do that, you know, I worry a little bit about the stock market like we all do. I don't know how in the world it's gotten where it is. I'm all for it, but
yes,
I got some in there. But well, what's the answer? I mean, right, well, it may not be an answer, but what's your thought?
Well, Larry, and I think you shared with us that you just tuned in. The first half of the show was about inflation and some of the numbers that we're dealing with right now, you, me, Jenna, everyone. Okay, so inflation is on the rise. The consumer price index is up 4.2% from this time last year. Okay, so I don't think you are going to find a safe rate of return in line with that percent, you may come close to 4%, but certainly 0.7% is not going to cut it. And your rate of return, okay, you're not losing money by investing or having that CD renew at 0.7%, but you are losing purchasing power, and your real rate of return is actually negative when you subtract your rate of return minus the rate of inflation. Your real rate of return is negative. So you've got to find something, and that's why you're calling. I understand that. You've got to find something that is going to generate a higher rate of return, however, a safe rate of return for you and others like you. And, you know, I always say this, and I may not have many friends at the banks and credit unions for saying this, but you know, I don't think of a CD as an investment. It is a parking place that you want to perhaps match up with an obligation down the road to pay something, whether it's taxes or you want to put money away to purchase a motor home this time next year, something like that. But it's keeping it somewhat liquid, but certainly with a maturity date. So I would encourage you to think more along the lines of investing that money in a safe instrument. And you shared that with me, that you have a very low risk tolerance, and just putting it in something that's going to approach, if not exceed, the rate of inflation. Does that make sense? And
it does. But how do you do that? How do you do that without? I mean, if I'm back to, I mean, if somebody, you know, in their 70s and 80s. Can't, you know, risk of 2008, you know, the market going a third of what it is. I mean, you know,
yeah,
even safe stuff.
Right. You know? And I don't think you want any part of the market. And that's sort of the vibe I'm getting from you. But, the way we approach things is you come in, you complete a 10-question risk tolerance questionnaire. We define your investment objective and your risk tolerance, which, again, we know is very low. But there are risk-free returns that are considerably higher than the 0.7 that you're looking at renewing that CD at. And Larry, if you've listened, there are really three major components of any investment: risk, return, and liquidity. You may need to sacrifice liquidity and tie that money up for a term, possibly a term of years, to secure a rate of return that approaches the rate of inflation, which is what you need to do. Larry, feel free to call our office, 437-3127. Hillary will answer the phone and schedule a time for you to come in, and we can discuss it in more detail. But I think you're on the right track. What I mean by that is being...
Well, what I've done right now, and I appreciate what I've done right now, is I've had some come due, you know, not a ton of money, but a substantial amount. I've just put it in a regular savings account so I can figure out what to do with it. So I'm in a position where I could do that, move it. You know, so I do appreciate you guys, and thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Larry. You have a great day, and thank you for calling in.
Oh, I love that. And we love hearing from our listeners and asking those questions. And, yeah, you can't help but wonder, like, am I doing the right thing?
Right.
And that's where, what did we mention before in the show when we were talking about having the right people surround you, the right investment advisor, right lawyer. You need that.
You need a good team. And some of them aren't as much as, you know, they may not be involved every quarter, every year, but they're there when you need them. You know, for example, you may not be going to your estate planning attorney every year. I'm not saying you won't, and you might need a checkup as things change and as you experience life events. However, the surrounding yourself with a team, a good tax person, an attorney, your investment advisor, your financial advisor, of course, very important to succeeding financial in this world today.
Right, and also, I feel like that's as good as my drum roll gets, an estate planner, right? So you're meeting with somebody who's going to help you walk you through that process, which isn't always fun. So I know we wanted to tap on that subject, too, in the next couple of minutes. It's about 10:47 here on Pensacola Expert Panel. Bob Burgee is here to answer your calls and texts.
Yes.
850-437-1620.
Right, and we always welcome the calls, whether they have anything to do with the topic of today or another topic.
Surprise
us. So, Larry, thank you. okay, so Annalee and I work with some estate planning attorneys around town. One of them in particular really does a great job of sharing with her clients the different buckets, she calls them buckets of money, and how they're treated at death, okay? When we're talking about estate planning, Jenna, okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and if you get this right, I'm going to let you pass on the next three. You mention estate planning, what's everybody's first concern?
The big bad word. Oh, it's not a four-letter word, but
right.
Probate.
Okay. That is good. Okay. You did really well. All right. So everybody is concerned about probate. Now, it's not the end of the world, okay? And you have a will, a last will and testament, hopefully, that will address that. And anything that passes per the terms of your last will and testament does go through probate. Again, not a bad thing. Can be time-consuming, but there are ways to avoid probate. Again, we're going to talk about the four buckets of money. The first bucket, okay, and the most powerful way of transferring assets at death is by title. Okay, when your assets are titled jointly, or perhaps there's a TOD or POD, transferable on death or payable on death designation, then you can avoid probate. It will go with the production of a death certificate and possibly filling out a form. It will transfer to that person who is named or persons who are named as the beneficiaries in a transferable on death account or a payable on death account. Of course, in a joint with right of survivorship account, typically used with married couples, it passes to the survivor, no questions asked. Okay, so very, very powerful, almost really uncontestable, is assets transferring by title at death. The second bucket is primary beneficiary designations. Many accounts, certainly all qualified accounts, and what I mean by that, retirement assets, your IRA, your 401k, your 403b, your 401a, your Roth IRA, all qualified plan assets have a beneficiary designation where you can name a beneficiary and your assets pass per the terms of that beneficiary designation, and you are not looking to the will or anything else. So beneficiary designations are also powerful. The other types of accounts that you use beneficiary designations, life insurance, obviously. Mm-hmm. You name a beneficiary. Annuities, you name a beneficiary. You can name a primary beneficiary and also what are known as contingent beneficiaries if, by chance, the person you've named as a primary beneficiary passes away before you, okay? So another very powerful form of transferring assets at death is by naming a primary beneficiary. Annalie and I run into this a lot. You have a married couple, primary beneficiary designations, name the spouse, a couple divorces, and of course the primary beneficiary needs to change. Every now and then we will meet with somebody, not somebody that does not have an account with us, but perhaps somewhere else, where the beneficiary designation has not been changed. So always good to review and update that after a life event. And that is not only divorce, it's death, it's other things. But it can be the birth of children and birth of, you know, of grandchildren, if you so choose to name them as primary or contingent beneficiaries, okay? So the two buckets we've already gone over, titling assets with a TOD, POD, or joint with right of survivorship, escapes probate. Beneficiary designations with annuities, life insurance policies, any qualified plan account, any retirement account, you have beneficiary designations also escapes probate, okay? Now the third bucket gets a little more complicated. That's a trust. A trust also has beneficiaries named, okay? It's not a form where you fill out beneficiary designations. A trust is a living, breathing document where assets can be controlled after the grantor, the person that set up the trust, passes away. Beneficiary designations are in there. They are in the body of the trust. They can be the trust assets can be fully distributable. Only the income can be distributable to the beneficiaries. The corpus of the trust or the principal of the trust can be distributed in increments, like let's say in 25% increments over a term of years. So it's not as cut and dry as with the annuities, the life insurance policies, the retirement accounts, where you're basically filling out a form, assigning percentages. The trust document can distribute the assets in accordance with the wishes and the terms set forth by the grantor of the trust. So that the beneficiaries and the beneficiary distributions take on many, many forms when it comes to the terms of a trust. Okay, so we've got the first three, title, beneficiary designation, and a trust. All three escape probate. So we're down to the last bucket. Guess what? The last bucket is everything else. Typically, everything in your name and your name only, okay? Those are the items that will pass in accordance with your last will and testament, or if you have no last will and testament in accordance with the probate statutes in your state of residence, okay? So always good to have a last will and testament. Yes, it will. The assets that the last will and testament addresses will go through probate, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Jenna, I'm going to hit you up on this question. One of the things that we've talked about with the last will and testament, how important it is, even if you have beneficiary designations or jointly titled assets or TOD assets, with everything escaping probate. One would ask, well, why do I need a last will and testament if everything's going to pass and avoid probate? Well, the reason is it puts somebody in charge. It
always
puts somebody squarely in charge. In the state of Florida, that person is your personal representative. And in the state of Alabama, that would be your executor. But and in other states, you know, it's typically one or the other. But very, very important to have a last will and testament, nevertheless. The objective is not probate avoidance. The objective is to make sure everything passes to the people you love or the causes you believe in.
Right. And power of attorney is not put in the last will and testament. We've covered this before.
That is correct. As a matter of fact, the power of attorney expires at death.
That's right.
That's for somebody to make in a durable power of attorney. A durable power of attorney survives one's incapacity or incompetency, okay? If they're no longer able to act for themselves,
sure.
Then the attorney, in fact, the person that holds the power of attorney, can act on their behalf.
And this could be a whole other talk subject in itself, which we can probably pick up next week, because I have another question too. But I would love to talk about the difference between a power of attorney and now the dirty word everybody has talked about and had to probably Google to look it up, is a conservatorship, right?
Yes. Yeah, you know, at this point in the show, we're not going to be able to, you know,
no,
really
tap
discuss
into that.
That.
But I'm
right.
just saying, I'm going to throw that out there.
Right, right.
Like a grenade. I'm just going to throw it and run.
Yeah, you know, the power of attorney is, they use a term in legal circles called an advance directive, okay? An advance directive is a power of attorney, your appointment of healthcare surrogate. They're directing who is to act on your behalf in advance, okay? That's what an advance directive
sure.
is. A living will, okay, mm-hmm. which has nothing to do with the last will and testament, but it's an advance directive. And you're either covering the way you want to be treated or authorizing somebody to act on your behalf, whether it's medical or whether it's financial. And the advance directives are very important. Things like guardianships, conservatorships are typically set up by the courts and they're not advance directives. Nobody carves that into their estate planning documents, you know, that I want a conservatorship or guardianship set up. But and you said something about the power of attorney and how it interacts with the last will and testament. It's really simple. It's quite simple. The last will and testament picks up where the power of attorney left off.
Mm-hmm.
And that line in the sand is really at death, okay? Power of attorney during one's lifetime, and at death, you reference the last will and testament. And hopefully, folks, you have both.
Right.
Because we know one thing. Everyone needs a last will and testament, right? Power of attorney may not need to be referenced or activated at any point. However, it's golden if you need it.
That's so very true.
These are very important estate planning documents, and that's something Annalee and I cover. We teach a class over at the Pensacola State College, some other places, and also some hospitals, and you know the importance of these documents are huge. I would argue that there is no greater document that you ever sign your name to than the last will and testament. I hear our music coming. Thank you. We got through that. How about that?
That was great.
Okay.
We've got more to talk about next week. I'll see you next week at 10.
Right on.
All right, everybody. Join us tomorrow morning. We've got this great Southern restaurants here. Our Grits girls join us. So tune in at 9 a.m. Have a great day. Stay dry out there. We'll see you soon.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. WNRP. Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.